Last episode, we explored how existential philosophy helps us navigate the tension between values and survival through our spheres of authentic action framework. Today, we're making this practical by showing you how real organizations apply these concepts to maintain authenticity while adapting to complex challenges. I'm Tekoa, and welcome to Breaking the Binary. Quick recap of our framework. Three concentric circles representing different aspects of organizational decision making. At the center is your core value sphere. These are the fundamental impacts that define your purpose, not your mission statement, not the words that you use or program names, but the actual change you're committed to creating. The middle circle is your strategic flexibility sphere. This is where language and methods can shift while core work remains constant. The outer circle is your creative possibility sphere. This is where constraints drive innovation. This framework reflects what philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre called freedom within facticity. While we can't choose our circumstances, we can always retain freedom in how we respond. Today, we're going to see how organizations are breaking the binary between values and viability by operating across all three spheres. Let's start with the core value sphere, where you clarify what's truly non-negotiable. This connects to one of my favorite philosophers, Kierkegaard's concept of the teleological suspension of the ethical. This is where he distinguishes between surface-level expressions of values and their deeper purpose. Remember the organization from last episode? Rather than immediately reacting to pressure about their language, they pause to clarify their core commitment, ensuring every young person has a safe, affirming environment to thrive. With this clarity, they make conscious choices about adaptation. They maintain specific programming for LGBTQ plus youth while describing their work more broadly as creating supportive environments for all youth in certain contexts. Their internal training still address the unique challenges facing LGBTQ plus youth, while public materials emphasize creating belonging for all marginalized young people. A criminal justice reform organization faced similar challenges with funder discomfort around their systemic change language. By clarifying their core commitment, creating healing pathways for people impacted by incarceration, they could adapt their advocacy language while maintaining their direct work. What's striking about both of these examples is how clarity about core values created space for strategic flexibility without sacrificing integrity. These organizations didn't see adaptation as compromise. They saw it as consciously navigating different spheres. I'm curious about the non-negotiable impacts at the center of your work, not the words you use to describe them, but the actual change you're committed to creating in the world. If you're listening while you're driving or walking, think about that question later and we'll return to it when we do our thought experiment. Let's move to the middle sphere, strategic flexibility. This sphere beautifully illustrates Simone de Beauvoir's concept of situated freedom. Remember, we talked about that in the first episode. We always make choices within specific contexts and constraints. In her ethics, authenticity doesn't mean ignoring these constraints, but rather making conscious choices within them. A health equity organization developed context-specific communication protocols. This recognizes that different audiences require different framing. With community members, they explicitly named systemic racism as driving health disparities. With healthcare institutions, they emphasize eliminating preventable outcome gaps across populations. And with conservative funders, they focus on ensuring everyone receives appropriate care. A staff member told me, at first this felt dishonest, but then I realized we're saying the same thing, just in language that opens doors rather than closing them. More importantly, their actual interventions addressing bias, access, and community power remained consistent. Only the framing shifted. Another powerful example comes from an environmental justice coalition that needed to partner with businesses they had previously criticized. Rather than seeing this as either them selling out or being strategic, they use the sphere's framework to distinguish between negotiable and non-negotiable elements. They maintain their core commitment to community-led solutions in environmentally harmed areas. However, they shifted their approach from confrontational tactics to collaborative problem solving when engaging with business partners. They didn't abandon accountability, but they created space for businesses to make positive changes without having to publicly acknowledge past harms. What's notable is how conscious these organizations were about their adaptations, proactively choosing different expressions of their values across contexts. Think about your own communication across different audiences. Where might strategic flexibility actually help you advance your core values rather than compromise them? What would it look like to consciously choose different language while maintaining consistent impact? The outer sphere, creative possibilities, reflects Albert Camus' creative rebellion, finding meaning through creative response to limitations. Let's do some imagination. Imagine a reproductive health organization facing funding restrictions. Rather than abandoning their work, they develop an accompaniment model, training community health workers to help clients navigate complex systems. This approach reaches more people than direct service and better aligns with their community leadership values. Now let's take an arts education program facing curriculum restrictions, developing stealth creativity, which to them means integrating arts-based learning into core subjects. Over time, they get data that shows this approach proves to be more effective than traditional arts programming. Now, let's consider a racial justice organization that shifts from explicit language about structural racism to creating platforms for first-person storytelling. This allows them to make the realities of racism visible through lived experience rather than academic terminology. Each case, you see where constraints push organizations toward approaches that are more aligned with their deeper values of community empowerment and human connection. The questions they face change from how do we maintain our approach despite limitations to what new possibilities these limitations reveal. The most effective organizations I work with don't just operate in one sphere at a time. They consciously integrate activities across all three. Let me share what this looks like in practice. This integration reflects what philosopher Simone de Beauvoir called the ethics of ambiguity, the recognition that authentic ethical action requires embracing complexity rather than seeking absolute rules or simple answers. For organizational leaders, this means developing comfort with nuance and apparent contradiction. Let's say you operate in a politically diverse region. You're going to expand your spheres framework and create a spheres map, meaning you literally map your activities across the three spheres of the framework. You start by taking your fundamental commitments from your core value sphere and review your program for suitability in each region, determining whether your principles can remain consistent across all communications and programs. Now, using your strategic flexibility sphere, you identify the operation and communication needs in each region. You might find that Region 1 requires you to describe your work as community empowerment. Region 2 requires you to describe your work as inclusive economic development. And Region 3 requires you to describe it as equitable opportunity creation. This helps you reframe your change activities with staff and colleagues and facilitate a proactive, solution-focused planning session rather than a reactive work session centered around the injustice of the need to change. A community development leader shared, "Creating our spheres map was transformative. Instead of endless debates about language, we could see where we needed consistency and where we needed flexibility. Completely changed our internal conversations. This is about moving towards a solution and not centered around discussion and review of the problem at hand." Okay? So what's powerful about this integrated approach is how it frees you from binary thinking. Either or propositions activate survival mode. This is where creativity is suppressed because you don't have time for creativity when you're trying to stay alive, right? Recognize your freedom to choose and exercise your privilege to pause and reflect on your core values. Then get strategic about your flexibility and identify opportunities for creativity. Essentially, develop a habit of continuously asking what belongs in which sphere. Where do we need consistency? Where do we need flexibility? And where do we need innovation? Another way to use this strategy is to create sphere conscious leadership development training. You do this by explicitly training staff to recognize which decisions belong in which sphere and how to navigate the tensions between them. This will accompany your decision-making process matrix, and if you don't have one, then now's your time to go back and create one. Have your staff participate in scenario exercises where they determine whether a challenge requires holding firm, core values, adapting approach, strategic flexibility, or creating something new, creative possibilities. This kind of conscious navigation across spheres doesn't happen automatically. It requires intentional practice, clear frameworks, and ongoing reflection. But if you take the time to develop this capacity, you'll find that you can maintain your integrity while navigating complex environments more effectively than being stuck in binary thinking. Time for our thought experiment of the day. This experiment draws on Hannah Arendt's profound concept of thinking without a banister. Arendt introduced this metaphor to describe the challenge of evolving judgment in the modern world. Essentially, when the traditional banisters or handrails of morality, religion, and tradition that once guided decision-making expands or go away, we must develop the capacity to think freshly about each situation and to judge particular cases without universal rules. For Arendt, this wasn't a cause for despair, but an invitation to a more authentic form of thinking. When we can no longer rely on preset categories or binary frameworks, we're called to engage with the full complexity of a situation and develop judgment based on the particular circumstances before us. This approach is especially valuable when navigating complex ethical terrain where established rules or sector norms no longer provide adequate guidance. Now let's apply this to our spheres of authentic action framework. Think of these scenarios, or you can use one from your personal work. You have an organization that's committed to community-led program design, but now you have a funder that's required you to implement a specific evidence-based model that the community has explicitly rejected. Next scenario. Your organization is committed to making all services accessible, but providing interpreters for all languages in your community would consume up to 30% of your program budget, which would limit the number of people you can serve. Last one, your team is experiencing burnout and you've committed to sustainable workloads, but a community crisis has come up and it now requires your immediate response, which is beyond your current capacity. You're going to take one of these scenarios or the one that you came up with and you're going to move through these steps. First, pause at the banister moment. This is the moment when you are tempted to immediately reach for an established rule, binary choice, or sector norm to resolve the tension. What would the quote-unquote typical response be? What assumptions underlie this response? Arendt would challenge us to recognize when we're dealing with predetermined frameworks rather than thinking outside of the box. Next, you're going to identify what belongs in your core value sphere. What's the fundamental impact you're committed to creating? Not the specific methods or the language, but the essential change. Remember to always use clear and simple language. Arendt would encourage us to distinguish between essential principles and contingent expressions of those principles. Next, engage in enlarged thinking. This is Arendt's term for considering multiple perspectives. For each stakeholder in your scenario, ask yourself how they experience the situation. What values are at stake for them? What possibilities might they see that I don't? This is also what human-centered design is. Remember, anything you do is impacting someone. There's a multiple frame impact. You need to consider how all stakeholders are going to be impacted by whatever change you enact. This will help you break free from limitations of your own viewpoint. Now you're going to explore strategic flexibility from this enlarged perspective. If you had to change your methods or language tomorrow, does your core value cease to exist? Think about three alternatives that could fulfill your fundamental commitments while addressing the tensions in the scenario. For Arendt, this kind of imaginative thinking helps us judge particular situations on their own terms. Finally, enter your creative possibility sphere. Instead of seeing the constraint as another obstacle, view it as an invitation to engage in innovation. What pilot projects or new initiatives can you create to eliminate or use this tension as a side door to deepen your commitment to your core values? Arendt believed that genuine thinking often requires breaking with established patterns to respond to new realities. Now look across all three spheres and notice how easier it is to navigate the challenge when you aren't stuck in survival brain. How does this thinking without a banister open up possibilities that binary thinking would miss? For Arendt, this process isn't about finding the perfect answer, but about developing the capacity for judgment in a world where predetermined guidelines are increasingly inadequate. It's about thinking that remains grounded in reality while refusing to be limited by existing categories or false binaries. Here are some questions to reflect on once you've done the thought experiment. Where in your organization do you rely on established banisters that might be limiting your thinking? How might regular practice of thinking without a banister change your approach to difficult decisions? What structures or practices could help your team develop this capacity for judgment without predetermined guidelines? And in what areas might your organization need to create new conceptual frameworks rather than choosing between existing options? If you use this approach, you embody what Arendt saw as the essential political and ethical task of our time, to think and judge in particular situations without relying on universal rules or binary frameworks. When the rule book has changed, you get to make the rules, and you have to remain connected to both your principles and reality to move forward in authenticity. All right, y'all, you made it through. I want to remind you that authentic leadership isn't about purity or compromise. It's about conscious navigation across different spheres of action, reflecting what existentialists called authentic being. The organizations we've explored aren't exceptional in their resources. What distinguishes them is their refusal of binary thinking, seeing beyond either or choices to both and possibilities. Next, we're going to move on to explore Martin Buber's I-Thou relationship and how authentic connection transforms individual challenges into collective action. Until then, try mapping your work across the three spheres of authentic action and notice what happens when you break the binary between purity and pragmatism. I'm Tekoa, and you've been listening to Breaking the Binary.